It's time for the Douglas Coleman Show. Mr. Smooth and Savvy is joined by guests from all walks of life. From the entertainment industry, to authors, to political and social commentators. The famous and not so famous. The controversial and the light and fluffy. We have it all. Now, here's Douglas Coleman.
Well, hello there. Welcome to the Douglas Coleman Show. It's me, Douglas Coleman, as always. How are you? We've got Bruce Olaf Solheim here today. Bruce is a distinguished professor of history, and he's also got a new stream play. And what is a stream play, you're asking? Well, it's a live show that's online. All the actors are in remote locations, and they all co-mingle in a 3D world. He will explain it better than I can explain it, because I haven't seen it yet, and I'm not sure what I'm talking about. But he does a good job to explain it, and it sounds really, really cool. The best description I think he gave was, he said it's like live people all playing together inside a video game. So anyways, for more information, you can go to lockdowntheater.online. And the first show will be coming out on October 28th. So be sure to check that out. We will be right back with Bruce Solheim.
You're listening to Mr. Smooth and Savvy right here on the Douglas Coleman Show. We'll be right back after these commercial messages.
Hi there, this is Stuart Epps, record producer. This is my story about Elton John, working with him in those early years, going back to 1967 at Dick James, all the amazing tours, those first recordings, going through to Rocket Records, and it's an amazing story about his incredible rise to stardom and my part in that. So look forward to taking you on that journey. So here we go.
Yeah, and to order this great audio CD, please just email me at stuartepps@talk21.com. That's Stuart, S-T-U-A-R-T, Epps, E-P-P-S, at talk, T-A-L-K, 2-1 in figures, .com. stuartepps@talk21.com. Email me and I'll give you all the details for buying this brilliant audio disc. Thank you, bye.
DJC Music and DJC Productions are pleased to announce a brand new website. We have started a listing website for radio show hosts as well as potential show guests. This is a meeting site where hosts and guests can come together. Show hosts can list their show and types of guests they're interested in booking. Potential guests can list their talents, bio, accomplishments, or anything they feel makes them an interesting radio show guest. There are no recurrent payments, only a one-time $5 listing fee. Your listing will stay up until you decide to cancel. Previous guests of the Douglas Coleman Show are welcome to submit their guest listing free of charge. Go to radiohostsandguests.com. That's radiohostsandguests.com.
Tired of living in a culture of lies, fake news, and alternative facts? The Pro-Truth Pledge reverses the tide of lies by calling on politicians, and everyone else, to commit to truth-oriented behaviors. The pledge asks signees to commit to 12 behaviors that research in behavioral science shows lead to truthfulness, such as clarifying one's opinions and the facts, citing one's sources, and celebrating people who update their beliefs toward the truth. Private citizens who sign the pledge get the benefit of contributing to a more truth-oriented society. Public figures get more substantive rewards for signing the pledge in the form of positive media and public recognition. The pledge crowdsources the truth by asking volunteers to evaluate the statements of public figures who sign the pledge. Take the pledge, demand that your elected representatives do so, and encourage your friends to take it at protruthpledge.org.
Are you an independent musician? How would you like to have your songs played on hundreds of radio stations just like the one you're listening to right now? Join MusicSubmit.com and we'll promote your music to radio stations and blogs in your genre. It's free to set up your account, and we guarantee your music will be considered for airplay by radio stations worldwide. Why not sign up today? It's free. MusicSubmit.com, radio promotion for indie musicians.
Hi, this is John Morgan, production supervisor for DJC Productions. You're listening to The Douglas Coleman Show.
Okay, please welcome to The Douglas Coleman Show, Bruce Solheim. Hey, Bruce, how are you?
Good. How are you, Douglas?
Doing just fine. Thank you very much. Why don't you just tell us a little about yourself and kind of tell us why you're here? I think that's a good place to start.
Okay. Why am I here? Why are any of us here? I am a professor, a distinguished professor of history at Citrus College, and I've been teaching college history for about 30 years, almost 30 years. I've also served in the U.S. Army for 6 years. I was a helicopter pilot, and before that I was a jail guard, worked in the business world, done a number of different things, worked up in Alaska, worked as a carpenter, have 4 children, 2 grandchildren, and I was born in Seattle to immigrant parents who came over after World War II from Norway, and I grew up with 2 cultures. And since I was little, I've been writing. I remember starting writing using a typewriter because my dad could not write English. He could speak English, but had trouble writing it. So he'd have me write letters for him when I was about 9 or 10. And before that, I was, you know, writing stories and stuff, but that's when I started using a typewriter. And I remember taking a typing class when I was, I think, one of 2 boys in the typing class in junior high, but I loved it, and I'm glad I did. So I've since that time, of course, I've written 10 books and 10 plays, published 10 books and written 10 plays, five of which have been produced. And I guess I'm here to talk about the experience of writing, the writer's life, and the latest project that I have, which is very exciting. It's a stream play, kind of a combination of a movie and a theatrical play, and called Tough Trip Through Hell. And there's kind of a backstory to that. But anyway, that's a little bit about who I am and maybe why I'm here.
Okay. Do you know Sig Hansen?
The captain of the crab boat.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think my sister may have dated him a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
My sister passed away, but I don't know him personally, but I know of him, of course.
Okay, no, I just because he's also from Seattle. He also came from Norwegian immigrant parents. And I thought maybe it was a close-knit community or something there. He was on our show about 2 or 3 months ago. We had an interview.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, no, my dad was, when they first came over, he fished up in Alaska, so he lived that deadliest catch lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then,
then
later he was a carpenter, so when I grew up, he had given up the fishing and was just doing carpentry full-time.
Okay. All right. Well, if you get the chance, you know, you can listen to the interview. It's pretty good. It's fun.
Yeah, I'd like to.
Okay, so tell me about a stream play, because actually I've never heard of that. So this is a live play that's just performed on the net?
Yeah, it's online, it's live, so it'll be on YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and something called Twitch, which I have just recently been acquainted with. I had no idea what Twitch was until about a month ago. But anyway, it's just another way to see live content on the internet. And so what it is it's a theatrical play that is performed live, but we have created an artificial, a 3D world, kind of like if you can imagine a video game, but we got live actors in this video game background. So for instance, in this play, Tough Trip Through Hell, we take the audience back to Virginia City, Montana territory, 1866.
Oh.
So we have created a 3D world, and we have the ability, we have our actors in remote locations all over the United States, including the Hollywood actor who's been in a lot of TV shows. He's starring in the show. But they will be captured on a green screen and put into this 3D world that our technicians have created. And so they will be live acting. We have a little bit of pre-record stuff to kind of set up each episode. It's going to be in 5 episodes. It's kind of old timey in a way, because the show is not going to be like a straight, you know, theatrical play, 90 minutes, whatever, 1 or 2 acts or 3 acts. It's going to be in about 20-minute blocks, 5 different episodes, or 15 to 20-minute blocks. Episodes that will be on successive Wednesdays starting October 28th. So you'll just get into it, and it's kind of like a cliffhanger, and then, oh, you got to come back and see the next episode. And so that's kind of a brief description of what we do. It's almost hard to believe that we're able to do this, but the and we've advanced quite a bit. You know, usually when people think of online live things, they think of like a reading, you know, like a reading, but these are actors who've memorized their lines, and they are inhabiting these characters. They have their costuming, their wardrobe, they are in the setting, they have props, you know, they have it all, you know, but it's a 3D world, and they're not in the same room. They'll be interacting on the screen, and you will think that they are together because of the way it's set up, but they're actually, one could be in Seattle, one could be in Los Angeles.
How do they hear each other if it's performed live?
Yeah, it's through what's it called? Anyway, what's the name of it? Real Engine is the thing that drives it. I guess that's the brand name, Real Engine. But our technician has, he's kind of like in the old time TV studios. You know, he's got like 5-6 different screens and all these switches. And each actor has the ability to see what's going on and hear what's going on. So they will see themselves and the other actor on their device that they have, either a computer, or it's a computer, laptop usually. And they will see themselves in the positioning that they have, so they can, you know, make sure that they're facing the right way, so they don't like talk to another character and they're looking, and because they're not there in the room with them, they don't want to, you know, be facing the other way talking to the person, right? So they have to monitor that. But yeah, they hear it and they see it.
Wow,
as it's happening.
The blocking must be a real bitch on that.
It is. And it's completely insane. The first we've done, this is our third in the series. The first one was pretty crude. It was more of what you would, although it was better than a Zoom call. If you've done Zoom calls, we've just got those blocks and people yakking and they don't know if their audio is on or not. So it was more sophisticated than that. But basically, we didn't have a green screen. We didn't have the 3D world. The second one, we created the 3D world, and we were just learning how to do the blocking and get it right. So there were some mistakes. But this one, I think we've got it down. So yes, it is. And what we do is, and Real Engine allows us to do this. So we have a character on a mark. They never leave that mark. What they do is they turn, you know, 3/4 one way or degrees or whatever, one way or the other. And the actual camera angle changes based on the background. So they could be turning to their left and we would see the whole world behind them turning as well, because the technician has the ability to rotate that 3D world. So it's going to be pretty exciting. I've seen how we've done it so far in rehearsals. We've only started the tech rehearsals. We've been doing all the other stuff, and building the 3D world, but that's how it's going to be. But yes, blocking, it's not easy. It's a whole different kind of acting. There's some things that are the same. There's other things that are different. It's kind of a little bit of like being on a TV show or a movie. It's a little bit like being on stage, but there's this 3D world, and the audience could be anywhere and the actors could be anywhere. Conceivably, we could have actors here in this country, actors overseas, you know, as long as you have a decent internet connection and we bring it through our control room, our control board, we can make it happen. So it really opens up the whole world to not only the actors working together and directors and writers and stuff, but also the setting. You could be anywhere, and it doesn't, you know, once you get the software set up and you know how to do it and you have the right technicians, you could put yourself anywhere. You don't have to fly the whole cast and crew to Bombay, India to film. You could create Bombay, India and put people there. And it looks really good. I mean, it looks like, if you've seen really good video games, they are so good now, you know, sometimes it's hard to distinguish reality. Like when my son is playing his sophisticated baseball games, I walk by and I go, "Oh, what game's on?" He said, "I'm playing a game." I said, "Oh, it's not real." No, it's not real.
some of the sports games, it's almost impossible to tell from a live broadcast.
Yeah. It is.
Now I'm curious about the technical aspects of this because I'm pretty familiar with how a live TV show works, where it's sort of edited on the fly. Go to camera one. Go to camera two. Go to camera three. Mm-hmm. And there's a director who's doing that. Is there somebody also directing the actors? Because that's usually not happening on a TV show.
Yeah, no. The director is also one of the main characters. So he has done all his work is front loaded. So the technical director and his assistant will be running the show and showing the different what do they call them? Oh man, I wish I had the technical guy here. He calls them. You'd probably be familiar with the term because they borrow a lot of terms from television and movies. Basically, the screenshot, the camera shot. You know, they call them shots, I guess.
Yeah.
So he will control that. So he will say, "Okay, we got character three." Every character has a number, so he say, "Okay, character three is in place," and he'll be communicating also, so he can help. But the audience won't hear it, right? So it's kind of like being on a TV newscast and you're getting the latest, you know, news in your ear or whatever.
Right. Okay.
They'll be able to either see that or whatever. But anyway, they already have their blocking down. At least I hope they will. I'm pretty sure they will.
So the actors know what they're supposed to do.
Yes, because we've been rehearsing. Like the last, we said, okay, you're going to be in this position. She's going to be behind you, and you can stack people behind each other, even though it's really pretty trippy when you look at it on the screen. You got three actors on the screen, and they're having a discussion. You got one that's behind the other, and it's pretty amazing. And then you have the background that's 3D and can rotate behind them.
Okay.
With the appropriate lighting for the time of day, the shadow effect, you know, all that stuff. But so he controls. The technical director is the technical genius, if you will, behind this, the mad genius behind it. And he will be, calling the sound cues and, he'll have somebody helping him with the sound cues and the shots to make sure that, as we go from one scene to the next.
What's it cost to produce something like this?
So the Unreal Engine, I think we're talking about less than $500 for the software.
All right.
Okay. That's not cost prohibitive. There's a couple other things, maybe a couple hundred dollars, other kind of supplemental software. The time, we're all in this together. We call it Lockdown Theater, Lockdown Media Group. So we're all partners together. So nobody's getting paid for their time. So that's good, because otherwise designing this 3D world has taken a couple months, you know, of work, the sounds and all that stuff. So that would normally be quite a heavy cost. We also have, each actor has to have the same setup, the same green screen lighting setup. Being a producer, executive producer, I had to make sure the actor's not getting paid. So they're not getting paid scale for doing this. This is very experimental. So I made sure I provided them all with green screens and the proper lighting so they could be put into that 3D world. It's less than you think, but it's not zero.
Okay.
Put it that way. It's a couple thousand dollars you're talking about probably. And if you add in we did some pre-records, that costs a couple hundred dollars. So you're talking, you know, just a couple thousand dollars and you can do this, which is not undoable for people. It's doable for people who want to get their stuff produced in this age of COVID and do a very professional job and keep actors going, you know, so they're not sitting around and then they do what they love. So it's really a marriage of perfect things that people want to create. They want to act. They want to, you know, I'm a writer, so I want to get my stuff produced. So that's how we did it. You got a lot of highly motivated people really not getting paid, doing this, hoping that it'll catch on. And I don't, I've looked at a lot of the, you know, there's a lot of this stuff going on, people doing these online plays and stuff. Nobody's doing what we're doing that I've seen.
Oh, okay. Well, that's always a plus. Yeah. One more technical question, and then I'll tell you why I'm asking all these technical questions.
Yeah, sure.
How many cameras are on each actor?
Well, they are able to move the camera. Well, each actor only has one camera, right? They only have one camera, but the way that it appears on the screen, they could be, you know, he places cameras in different angles.
So to tell you the truth,
I don't know how they do it. He's shown me what he's doing. He'll have, like, for instance, he'll show a scene, let's say in front of a in front of a livery stable on the street, on, you know, on Main Street there in Virginia City, 1866. So he'll show me it, instead of the actors, he's got these robotic figures that represent with numbers on them that represent where the actors are positioned. And then he has these cameras that are floating in the air. And this is what I'm looking at on the development screen. So he says, we can show this angle, we can show that angle. And I said, well, how can you do that? The actor only has one camera. He said, but we can move the camera to show them in front of whatever background we want.
Oh,
you know, we can
I
rotate
see.
The
okay.
background. So it's really not the actor really moving around.
It's the background moving.
It's the background, right. which reminds me of an old Polynesian saying that people don't really travel anywhere. Their destination comes to them.
Well, okay.
I remember reading that. That's a pretty cool idea when you think about it.
And actually, that's not a new concept. They've been doing that since Charlie Chaplin, where they'd run on a treadmill and just move the picture behind them to make them look like they were running. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
So this is a high-tech version of that, essentially.
Yes. Yes.
The reason that I'm asking all these technical questions is because we just set up a new video edition to this show, which is separate mm-hmm. from the audio podcast. And mm-hmm. I took an old idea from the 1950s, from mm-hmm. Edward R. Murrow's Person to Person. The way he had that set up. Okay.
Yeah.
And now nobody's really ever done that kind of a setup since. And
right.
when you mentioned earlier about the Zoom calls with all the little boxes and split screens
mm-hmm.
that everyone is doing now because of the virus,
right.
I said, you know what? Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. That just too many people are doing it. I don't want to do that. So I
right.
set up my modern day person to person set and did it like that. But the reason that I'm kind of curious about what you're doing is because I'm doing the whole process. I mean, I'm setting up. I've got three cameras. I set up. I do the whole thing. I've got green screen, mm-hmm. lighting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did it myself because I was too cheap to pay anybody to come
right.
in and help me.
I understand. Believe me. I understand.
You know, so I do the whole thing myself. But my background doesn't change unless I go in and edit it and change it, which I don't mm-hmm. want to do because it's ideally it's a virtual talk show. And
right.
you only change the set once every season or something, you know,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't change every time. So no, I was just sort of curious about how they do it, but okay. So the actor, because also the other issue too, is if the actor has to run the tech at the same time that he's trying to act, that's not easy.
No, you have to, we did a tutorial lesson for each of them to basically breaking it down, how to interpret, you know, how this is working. So they've taken to it very well. Some of the younger actors, this is not, you know, they're so familiar with the technology of stuff, you know, that they're ahead already. But for me, you know, being an old school kind of person, it took me a while to get it. And I remember at one point I told the technical director, I said, is this kind of like that jib jab thing, you know, where I see where people send these, you know, those silly things where you put your face on a dancing person or whatever, a dancing bear or whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
And he said, he laughed and he said, well, that's a very crude example of what we're doing. And I said, okay, but I get it now. I get what's going on. But I really like your idea of the going back the old school. Are you going to do it black and white? Or are you going to do it color?
Well, it's funny you say that because I should have actually done it black and white with the scratchy film. Or make it look like kinescope, which looks absolutely awful. And yes.
Are you going to be chain smoking too?
That was the other thing. You know, my producer, he said, well, you know, Murrow smoked six packs of Chesterfields a day. Are you going to sit on camera and smoke during the entire interview? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, as retro as that might look, somehow I doubt I would attract much of an audience because the only comments I would get would be, you know.
Right, so, exactly.
No, we're not smoking on camera, no.
But I like that. I like bringing that back. Yeah.
Well, cool. There's about 30 episodes up now. If you haven't seen any, you can take a look at
them. I haven't. I'm going to go check them out.
Yeah. And, you know, right now we just ran a special for authors, so we had a whole bunch of authors come on. But it's good. I mean, we were keeping it a little bit shorter because people's attention span on YouTube is about zero. And we're keeping it shorter than the podcast, and it doesn't overlap. But I'm still thinking at some point maybe we'll merge the two shows, and you know, I don't know yet. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as stifling as this crisis has been, it's also spawned a lot of very interesting creativity.
True.
With the creative folks. And I think that's okay, you know, to be challenged every once in a while, because you could just sit there at home and say, how am I going to get my play produced? Now, nobody's going to, the theaters are shut down. So one day I just said, you know, to heck with it. I'm going to do it myself, and we're going to use technology. So I started calling people I knew. Next thing you know, we had a group of dedicated people together, and we made it happen. I mean, that's, people are hungry to get their you know, to show their skills and their craft and get their creative juices flowing again.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
And it's not stopping us.
Yeah.
And who knows where it's going to be after this is, you know, I think the world will be kind of changed from all this ultimately, but I think that, you know, because we are kind of on the leading, we are on the leading edge as far as I can see in what we're doing. I think it'll be a very good thing, especially for the younger people involved. I'm 62 and I'm approaching retirement as a teacher, but I still love writing and doing these things. But for them, I hope it kind of showcases their talents, you know, which will lead to something else. You know how that is. It just, somebody sees something, they go, oh yeah, I want that. I want to do that. So it's already led to that for a couple of the technical guys. So.
Well, I appreciate you volunteering your age because I knew you were at least my age when I said Edward R. Murrow and you went, oh yeah, you know, because I've said that to 25-year-olds, to 25-year-olds and they went, who? What?
Yeah.
What show?
Yeah.
We used to do, I don't know, about 6 years ago, I was working with somebody and we did a, similar to yours, except it was audio only. We did a virtual old-time radio show. And all of our different characters were in different places, and it was pretty easy to do because you would just record their dialogue. It was all scripted. And then you would just edit it all together with sound effects. And, you know, we tried to make it very 1930s, 1940s radio sounding. And it was mystery theater. It was a, you know, a ghost kind of horror type thing. And that was kind of fun. And then... well, you know, things, people have difference of opinions and stuff, so it didn't last too long. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun to do. It was a lot of fun to put together. So what you're doing sounds tremendous. I mean, it's just like the next step up video version of it, you know?
And it's live, which is very scary.
Actually,
old time television was live, you know, the
sure it was.
Radio or the theater, you know.
Yeah.
What did they
Murrow's show was live.
Whatever. Mercury Theater. Yeah, whatever
Mercury
it was.
Theater.
Yeah.
A Person to Person was live. Which
That was live too.
To me, the idea that he could even do that in the 1950s without satellites, without videotape, without internet, it was way ahead of its time, that show.
Yeah. Now you must like the movie Good Night and Good Luck, right?
You know, to be honest, I haven't seen it.
That's the George Clooney movie about Edward R. Murrow taking on Senator McCarthy.
Ah,
George Clooney starred and he produced it. It's really well done. Yep. It's really, really well done.
Okay, I'm putting that on my list right now.
Yeah, Good Night and Good Luck. And I can't remember the guy who played Edward R. Murrow, but he did an excellent job. He's kind of a character actor. I'm sure you've seen him before, but I just can't remember his name. But he's excellent in the role.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. We do have to wrap this up. Give us the website where people can come check out this wonderful show.
Yeah, so Lockdown Theater, and it's spelled R-E, the British way, Lockdown Theater .online. Or you could go to lockdownmediagroup.com and find us. You can go on Facebook and look up Lockdown Theater, once again spelled R-E instead of E-R. And you can get to, to watch it, to get the information on it. Or you can go to my website, BruceOlavSolheim.com. I got all my activities on there. O-L-A-V is the middle name, BruceOlavSolheim.com. So those are different ways that you can find out what I'm up to. And then at my website, you can see all the books I've written and all the other things that we've done.
Okay. Thank you, Bruce, for coming on the show. Best of luck with this thing. I'm going to check it out. It sounds really cool.
Oh, thank you, Douglas, and I will check out your Edward R. Murrow format. I'm excited to see that.
Okay.
Okay.
Take care. All right, bye-bye.